Amen. Thank you, Rachel. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, looking at chapter 21, saved to serve our Lord. The idea of this message is after salvation, what are we to do? One of the things, or actually two of the things that we are to do, I believe, go hand in hand. We are to serve our Lord and serve one another. As we begin to look at this passage this morning, I would like for you to look back at verse 9 to see the best context as we look at verses 15 and following. In John 21, verse 9, "And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring ye the fish which ye have caught." Jesus had met his disciples at the beach, where he had already prepared a breakfast for them. This entire scene must have stirred Peter's memory and touched his conscience. Surely he was recalling the first fish that he had caught back in Luke chapter 5, and perhaps even the feeding of the 5,000 with bread and fish in John chapter 6. It was at the close of the latter when Peter had given his clear-cut witness of his faith in Jesus Christ in John 6, verses 66 and following. The fire of coals mentioned here in John chapter 9 would certainly remind him of the fire at which he denied the Lord. It is good for us to remember the past. We may have something to confess. When you think about that statement there, we often think we are to forgive and forget, and I think we are to strive to do those things. But I think it's difficult to forget those things or those individuals that have gone against us. But when you think about this particular statement, it is good to remember the past. We may have something to confess. Last week we partook of the Lord's Supper and enjoyed our time together. And one of the things that we do is ask God to forgive us of our wrongdoings. Now, I think also we are to ask God of forgiveness of those we have done wrong to those that are around us. But when we think about this, if we continue to remember the past, sometimes in our life, things as we continue to progress through life will allow us to remember something that we need to do different. So when you look at your past, don't always think about the negative aspect. Don't always think about when things are wrong. Remember that it is confession to our Lord, and God is faithful to forgive you and forgive me. In the Gospel of John, there are three invitations given. I want to touch base on those as we get to the last one, looking at our message this morning. Three invitations stand out in John's Gospel. The first is, "Come and see," coming out of John chapter 1, verse 39. "He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." Invitation number one, come and see. Invitation number two in the Gospel of John, come and drink, out of John chapter 7, verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." The final invitation given is what we're going to look at this morning as we're looking at the idea of save to serve our Lord, which is simply come and dine, out of John 21, verse 12. "Jesus said to them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask again, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord." So the context we are in John chapter 21, we see that they are on the beach. Now Jesus Christ is there. He's going to prepare breakfast for them. But as he does those things, and as God continues to meet the needs of each person that he witnesses to, how loving of Jesus to feed Peter before he dealt with the spiritual needs. Now if you go back in John to where we are in John 21, he gave Peter the opportunity to draw, to get warm, to satisfy his hunger, and enjoy the personal relationship. And this is a great example for us as believers as we minister to those in need. Most of the time when Jesus Christ is sharing the gospel or sharing hope, he meets the physical need first, and once the physical need is met, he begins to move into the spiritual need. Now certainly the spiritual need is more important than the physical, but caring for the physical can prepare the way for the spiritual ministry. Our Lord does not so emphasize the soul that he neglects the body. And I think sometimes as believers, we go right into the spiritual aspect that we forget that we can meet the physical needs of people in order to show what Jesus Christ can and desires to do in their life. The question that I want you to think about this morning as we look at serving our Lord is simply this. Why am I doing what I am doing? Why am I doing the things that I am doing? This is an important question for us to consider as Christians, the question of, why am I saved? I believe many people are saved because they desire to go to heaven, and I think that's a great reason to be saved, don't get me wrong. I think a lot of people can be saved because they're scared of hell, which is the other alternative besides heaven. If you don't know Jesus, you will spend eternity in a place called hell. But as a believer, why are we saved? We are saved to serve Jesus and to serve those around us. Jesus will help us to discover here in the Gospel of John the answer to the question of motivation as he restores Peter and reminds him, and by extension to us as well, to be saved and to serve. So the question is, why are we doing the things that we are doing? When you think about that idea there, I want you to think about the idea of whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, are you content with just coming to church and just doing the basic things of a Christian? Or do you desire to share the love of Jesus with those around us? That's what I want to look at, number one, this morning, is love demonstrated by action, beginning in verse 15 of John chapter 21. So if you have your Bible, look in verse 15 with me. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto them, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So the breakfast is over. They're on the beach, they're on the sandbar, whatever you want to call it. And now an important conversation is going to take place. And I believe the importance of the conversation is found in verses 15 through 17, looking at love being demonstrated by action. But let's look at verse 15. He begins by saying, Simon, son of Jonas. This is a formal address. He is referring to him by his old name. And we know that he has received a new name. Peter simply means rock, but he has not been acting like and living in that regard. So when you think about Simon, son of Jonas, I want you to think about when you grew up, when your parent or grandparent called you by your full name, most of you knew that it was game on. Most of you understood that you were going to be whipped. I can remember many times growing up, I would hear that Bobby Everett, and if that Everett came out, I knew to start running because it was coming. And that's what Jesus is doing here to Peter. He's calling him by his full name to get his attention. And I think many of us as Christians sometimes need to be called by our full name for God to get our attention. During this pandemic, during these difficult times, sometimes we lose sight of what really matters in life. We're looking at the waters, we're looking at the troubles, the valleys, rather than looking at who Jesus Christ is. So Jesus addresses him in a way to get his attention, and you may be that Peter this morning or that Simon this morning where Jesus calls for your attention by calling your full name. As you continue to read in verse 15, what does Jesus Christ say? Do you love me more than these? Well, these what? There's a couple of scenarios that many people believe, and there's one that I really want to look at toward the end. We know that Peter enjoyed fishing. Do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than what your hobby may be? And for me and you, we may be asked that same question at times. Bobby, do you love me more than golf? I'll say it before most of you think it. And there are times in our lives that we allow hobbies to get in the way. We allow other things to get in the way. There are times I allow my job as a pastor to get in the way of the calling of being the pastor that God called me to be. It becomes a job when I begin to look at the negativity or the difficult aspects of being a pastor. But as long as I look at Jesus and what God is calling me to do, it remains a calling on my life. And I pray that you understand that difference. The idea that Jesus has for Peter here is that he has lost his first love, which is referenced in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And some of you may be listening this morning where you have an idea of Jesus, but you're not in the will of the Father because you have lost your first love. So the question that Jesus is asking is, do you love me more than these? Well, is it fishing? Is it a hobby? Or what about this? Do you love me more than the other disciples? Do you love me more than your friends? Do you love me more than your family? Do you love me more than your spouse, than your children? I want you to know that the greatest love that you possess should be the relationship between you and God himself. And once that is in order, the relationship between you and your spouse and you and your family and you and your friends will follow. Do we really love Jesus more than we love those that are around us? In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, it reads, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." We are called to love the Lord greater and more than anything else that we come in contact with. Or what about the idea of, do you still think that you love me more than these men like you originally thought? So Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter answers every time, God, you knowest that I love you. Peter answered and said to him in Matthew chapter 26, verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I believe that last idea or that last thought of loving Jesus more than the other disciples loved Jesus and the answer that Peter gave in Matthew chapter 26 is probably correct. This is the beginning of Peter's downfall. Do you love me more than friends? Do you love me more than family? Do you love me more than your job? Do we love Jesus more than anything else on the face of the earth? If we do, what does God tell Peter here, or Jesus tell Peter here? If you love me, feed my lambs. In other words, if you love me, then demonstrate it by the actions, not just word. It's the simple thought of, talk is cheap, just simply show it. Saying that we love Jesus and showing that we love Jesus sometimes are different things. It's kind of like when you have a conversation with someone and they're telling you about their testimony. They say something like this. I've said it. Many of you have said it. I grew up in church all of my life. Most of you that's listening could probably agree with that and would say that's how it began. But growing up in church all of your life and growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ are two totally different things. Now, when you think about that idea, I am thankful that I grew up in church and had the opportunity to be exposed to the gospel at a very young age. But it was not until I realized that I needed Jesus as my Savior and continued to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ that at that moment, it was not about just growing up in church. It was about growing in my relationship with Jesus. As you continue to look at verses 15 through 17, note that Jesus says in verse 15, feed my lambs. A couple of months ago, maybe a year ago, one of our deacons had the devotion and he shared this particular message. And he walks through the ideas of feeding my lambs and feeding my sheep. But I want you to think about verse 15 where it says, feed my lambs. These were the youngest. These were the weakest. These were the most vulnerable. So the idea that I want you to think about this morning is, how can we serve our Lord after salvation is to demonstrate our love by caring for the weakest of the lambs or the weakest of the children of God. As we walk through life, our relationship with Jesus should grow. And as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, there are those that are still there as lambs that we are to walk alongside, to nurture, to encourage, to be there for, to walk through life with, because Jesus is the chief shepherd and we are the under shepherds. Some in our congregation are lambs and some in our congregation are sheep. And as you think about that idea, some are perfectly content with remaining as lambs while some are eager to be sheep and continue to grow to ultimately to be shepherds to disciple those around us. If you're listening this morning and your relationship with Jesus has been greater than a couple of years per se, and you still consider yourself a lamb, I want you to know that the only reason that you're not growing to a sheep and ultimately a shepherd at some point to lead other people is because you're desiring not to grow in your relationship in Jesus Christ. While it is true that the Holy Spirit equips people to serve as shepherds and gives these people to churches, listen to this statement. It is also true that each individual Christian must help to care for the flock. Yes, it's my responsibility as your shepherd. It's my responsibility to care for you. But just as it's my responsibility and my calling, you as a Christian, it's your responsibility to walk alongside the others and to care for the flock just as it is mine. Each of us have a spiritual gift. Maybe you have more than one, and we should use the gift that we have to protect and perfect the flock. Yes, we are there to protect. Yes, we gather together for protection and walk alongside against the schemes of Satan. I'm a firm believer, and I pray about this daily, that I pray when we have the opportunity that we gather together that you are not content sitting in your recliner and watching it on TV, but you are eager to gather together. You're eager to come alongside us and assemble together and not be content and satisfied sitting at home. Do I believe that God can work in and through a live stream? Yes, I do. Do I believe that God can work in and through nature? Yes, I do. But I'm going to tell you personally, some of the greatest battles and hardest battles that I have faced in life have been much easier because people have walked alongside me, assembled together with me, and walked through these difficult times. When we think about these gifts, we have them. Each of us do. It's our responsibility to protect and to perfect the flock. But the idea of sheep is simply this. Sheep are prone to wander. And we must look after each other and encourage each other. They're prone to wander. They're prone to get off track, to go and explore things that don't matter. You've heard stories many times of people who knew the Lord. They grew up in church, and as they got older, what did they do? They left church, and they wandered through life aimlessly. And then God says, you know what? I'm going to get your attention. And he works with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, you realize that you're coming back to what? Your first love. Your first love was not your spouse. Your first love was not your children. Your first love was not your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Your first love is the one that created you, the one that spoke you into his existence. And because of that love, we as sheep should desire to be under the ultimate chief shepherd, which is that of Jesus Christ. Peter continues this thought in 1 Peter chapter 5. Beginning in verse 2, it reads, "Feed the flock of God which among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." With the idea of what Jesus is talking to Peter about, the idea of demonstrating your love through action. Now look at verse 16 of John chapter 21. Once again, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." What does Jesus say in verse 16? "Feed my sheep." Same question. Same response. This time, Jesus tells him to tend, which is the idea of leading or governing his sheep. At this point, Christians should know how they are to act, and we as the shepherds are to lead you, to govern you. At this point, you've transitioned from a lamb to a sheep, which allows you to submit yourself to the chief shepherd and to submit yourself to the shepherd of your church. What about verse 17? Once again, Jesus asked the same question. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? But look at Peter's response in verse 17, or his actions. He was grieved that Jesus asked him a third time. Why? It could be that it was a reminder of his denial of Jesus. He had denied Jesus three times, and here Jesus is asking him three times. But listen to this right here. There is grace and forgiveness for every denial. There's grace and forgiveness for every denial. I want you to know that God loves you. God desires to bestow His grace upon you. God desires to bestow His forgiveness upon you. And God is not going to hold that over your head like many of us do. Has anyone ever done you wrong? Think about that for just a second. Most of you are going to say, yes. And when people do us wrong, what is our natural response? Our natural response is to go and tell everybody what that person did to you. Most of you would agree, that's natural. What if we were willing to share the reconciliation as quickly as we were willing to share the wrongdoing? That when we go and talk about people doing us wrong and people hurting us and maybe doing something they ought not be doing, we go and tell everybody. Why? Because it makes us feel better about ourselves. But what when that person comes to you and asks for forgiveness and asks to be forgiven and to move forward? Oftentimes, we don't go back and tell everyone that that person came to them and tried to make it right. Why is that? Because we're not listening to that statement of grace and forgiveness in every denial. I am thankful that God's grace and forgiveness is not based on Bobby's standard. Had to be on Bobby's standard, it would be a messed up scale. It would be a flawed scale. It would be a scale that is based on what I thought was right, but our God is not like that. Peter appeals to Jesus' deity and omniscience and tells him to look at his heart in verse 17. He simply says, Lord, you know that I love you. I don't know why you're asking me three times, because you understand. I read a quote in preparing for this message that simply said, Jesus Christ asked each of us, not for obedience primarily, not for repentance, not for vows, not for conduct, but for a heart. And that being given, the rest will follow. Now listen to that context of that statement and the whole thing, and don't think I'm omitting repentance or nothing like that. When you realize that your heart is in need of a Savior, at that point you realize that you're in need of repentance. And when repentance comes, comes conversion. And after conversion comes obedience. And after obedience comes what? Demonstrating our love by our action. Number two, I want you to think about this morning, looking at saved to serve our Lord. As verses 18 and 19, there's a price to follow Jesus. There's a price to follow Jesus. Look at verse 18 with me. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But then when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. It begins in verse 18 with words that we hear oftentimes in Scripture, verily, verily, or truly, truly, which is simply Jesus trying to get Peter's attention. But in verse 19, we see a promise or a prophecy that Peter would get old and that he would die for Jesus. You will die for me, Peter, is what the Lord is saying. In the end, Peter would indeed love him sacrificially. Now, when you study the death of Peter, historians tell you many things, but if you study it, historians tell us that Peter would watch his wife be crucified, and then two, Peter would be crucified, hands stretched out, is what the scripture tells us in verse 18. But by his choice, Peter would be crucified upside down because he did not think himself worthy to be crucified in the same manner of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the end, it simply means this. He would not just die, but he would glorify Jesus in it. He would not just die, but he would glorify Jesus in his death. When it's all said and done and you are no more, if our life and our death can bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, then that, my friend, is a life well lived. Note the wording in this verse. By what death he would glorify God. Our lives should bring glory to God, but so can our deaths. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all for the glory of God. When we have that mindset, when we have the mindset of following Jesus and gathering together and living a life that brings honor and glory to Jesus, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that every possible thing that we can do, whether you eat, you drink, or whatever you do, do it for the glory of our Lord. There is a price for following. And for Peter, it would be death. And yet the call is the same the first day they met, which was simply, follow me. Do you understand that calling? The calling that God gave to Peter and to all of his disciples then was simply, follow me. The call that God gives you and me is simply, follow me. Jesus looks at us and says the same thing. Will you follow me? Then Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, one of my favorite verses of scripture, beginning in verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Are we willing to pay the price to follow Jesus? Last thing I want you to leave with you this morning, verses 20 through the end of the chapter, is to follow Jesus without distractions. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus, not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testified to these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which there should be written every one. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that shall be written. Amen. Follow Jesus without distraction. Peter immediately slips into acting like Peter again. If you go back to verse 15, he calls him by his formal name. He asks him three times in 15 through 17, do you love me? Then he moves into verses 18 and 19 and tells us that there is a price for following Jesus. And as you study the life of Peter, you see that he's crucified upside down. But here in verses 20 and 25, he goes back to his old self again. And he's asking the question, but what about him? Note the answer that Jesus gives. That is my business, Peter. If I want him to remain until I return, what does that matter to you? The calling that I have for you is to simply follow me. Wouldn't it be much easier as a body of believers to follow the Lord if we were not so wrapped up in thinking about what other people were doing rather than just fulfilling the call that God has in our life, which is simply follow me. I want to give you three verses or references this morning that gives you the idea of the emphatic idea of you following Jesus. Don't turn left, don't turn right. Put your head down, hold on to the plow, and follow Jesus. In Joshua 1:7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. In Joshua 1, it tells you don't look left, don't look right, but you follow Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice that in Hebrews 12:2 it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finishing of our faith. It doesn't say look unto your pastor. It doesn't say look unto a priest. It doesn't say look unto any other Christian on the face of the earth. It says look unto the one that paved the way for salvation, which is Jesus. Your salvation is beginning and it is ending in and through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When we are following Jesus without distractions, all we are doing is pressing toward the call and the mark of the prize that God has for me and God has for you. Don't be distracted by others and their calling. Follow Jesus. It is not our business to worry about what others are doing for the cause of Christ. We are supposed to be focused on what we are doing for the cause of Christ. As believers, following Jesus without distractions allows us to understand that we are to be focused on what we are doing. But I want to look at verse 23 and 24 of John 21 in closing. I want you to think about a couple of things. Verse 23, then went this day abroad among the brethren that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will not tarry till I come, what is that to thee? A rumor. Listen. Rumors happened in John 21 verse 23. A rumor had started among the disciples that John would not die. Listen. Don't be distracted by rumors. Don't be distracted by crazy talk. The calling is the same, to serve our Lord after salvation is simply follow Jesus. John explains that Jesus did not say what they had thought he said and restates Jesus' word for the record. How many times have we listened to someone that said something like this, I think they said, or I thought they said, and instead of getting the facts, what do? We do exactly like the disciples that followed Jesus in verse 23. We continue to run our mouth and continue to feed the rumors rather than going to the horse's mouth and finding out exactly what has taken place. But verse 24, John here puts his stamp of approval and seal of authenticity on the book. He confirms that what he has wrote is true and that there were many things that Jesus said and did. If all the things that Jesus said and did were written down, it would fill every library in the world. But here's what I want you to think about of God's fullness. If Christ fills all eternity, then it would be simple. If Christ fills all eternity, then it would be a simple matter to fill a planet. What does that mean for me and you? If God Himself can fill all eternity, God Himself can fill all the desires of your heart. And the desires of your heart, based on John 21, looking at Peter, should be simply following Jesus. May we follow Jesus. May we understand that it's about salvation. And when salvation takes place, it's about serving our Lord. And not just serving our Lord, it's about serving the lost and dying world around us. Go and be the church with a sense of urgency, sharing the gospel, fulfilling the Great Commission, and understanding that servitude follows salvation, and salvation follows repentance in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you answered the call of our Lord that simply says, follow me? God, we thank you. God, we love you. God, we grant you the praise that you so richly deserve. God, this morning, if anyone is listening that has not put their faith and trust in you, God, I pray they'll answer the call of follow me. God, they'll understand that you're the chief shepherd. God, they may be as the lambs. There may be people who have been in church all their life that are still lambs. But God, may we be willing to move forward, to be sheep, to grow. But even when that happens, God, we know that sheep are prone to wander. They're prone to get confused at times. And sometimes they need a little encouraging. God, I'm asking for you to have your way. I'm asking for if anyone needs to answer the call of salvation, that today can be the day of salvation. God, thank you for working. Thank you for moving. And thank you for the power that's in your spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.